But we're here today. And any day above ground gives us reason to thank the Lord. If you have your Bibles today, I'm going to ask that you turn with me to the book of Kings, 1 Kings, chapter 20. And we'll be reading the first 14 verses, 1 Kings, chapter 20. And I will ask if you will stand for the reading of God's word. And when you get 1 Kings chapter 20, can you just say amen so I know you're ready?
Amen.
1 Kings chapter 20, 1 through 14. Now, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mustered his entire army, accompanied by 32 kings with their horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and attacked it. He sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, saying, "This is what Ben-Hadad says, your silver and gold are mine. The best of your wives and children are mine." The king of Israel answered, "Just as you say, my lord the king, I and all I have are yours." The messengers came again and said, "This is what Ben-Hadad said. I sent to demand your silver and gold, your wives and your children. But about this time tomorrow, I'm going to send my officials to search your palace and the houses of your officials. They will seize everything you value and carry it away." The king of Israel summoned all the elders of the land and said to them, "See how this man is looking for trouble? When he sent for my wives and for my children, my silver and my gold, I did not refuse him." The elders and the people all answered, "Don't listen to him or agree to his demands." So he replied to Ben-Hadad's messenger, "Tell my lord the king, your servant will do all you demanded the first time, but this demand I cannot meet." They left and took the answer back to Ben-Hadad. Then Ben-Hadad sent another message to Ahab, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if enough dust remains in Samaria to give each of my men a handful." The king of Israel answered, "Tell him, one who puts on his armor should not boast like one who takes it off." Ben-Hadad heard this message while he and the kings were drinking in their tents, and he ordered his men, "Prepare to attack." So they prepared to attack the city. Meanwhile, a prophet came to Ahab, king of Israel, and announced, "This is what the Lord says. Do you see this vast army? I will give it to you unto your hand today, and then you will know that I am the Lord. But who will do this?" Ahab answered. The prophet replied, "This is what the Lord says. The young officers of the providential commanders will do it." "And who will start the battle?" he asked. The prophet answered, "You will." You may be seated. Subject: the threat is real. The threat is real, but the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. I want to talk story with you for just a little bit. And as we unwrap what this word is saying to us today, and we look back on 2016 and we prepare, as this is the first day of 2017, the Lord has put a word on my heart for me and my life, and I pray that this same word, this seed, will be planted in your life so that you may have victory this year. As we talk story and we start to unpack, let me just give you the two main characters with regard to the story so we're all on one accord. The first is Ben-Hadad. He's a king. He's the king of Aram, or Syria. He's haughty. He's spiteful. He's covetous. He's proud. He threatens those around him to gain excess in his empire. And he's looking to establish dominion over other kingdoms and to increase his possessions. This is a foreign king with foreign gods. The other main character in the story is Ahab. He is the king over Israel, the children of Israel, God's chosen people. Nothing special about the children of Israel, except that God chose them. He chose them to be an example to everyone around. And when they listened and obeyed and did what the Lord told them to do, the Lord blessed them. And as he blessed them, people around saw the blessing, and they could not deny how great and mighty God was. However, when the children of Israel failed to serve the Lord, God took his hand of protection off of them, and they were subject to other kings and other kingdoms. You see, if you're not with God, you're against God. And that includes the children of Israel. So you have these two opposing kings, and they're going to battle. That's what this whole story is about. Do you have battles in your life? Have you experienced battles in 2016? Some you won, some you lost, some you're still fighting. Amen. I want to encourage you today in the Lord. So let's break down this scripture. It was quite long. We'll take it in bite-sized pieces and unpack it and deal with it. First, let me start with verse 1. It says, "Now Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mustered his entire army, accompanied by 32 kings, with their horses and chariots. He went up to besiege Samaria and attack it." We're talking about the threat. We're saying that it's real. We see this king with his entire army. And not only does he have his army, my Bible tells me he has 32 other kings rolling with him. He has their chariots and he has their horses. Now, I don't know about you in this day and age. You may not respect chariots. You may not respect horses. But that's like going into a fist fight with guys that have guns. The chariot, the horse, that was major military prowess. If you had chariots and horses, you were doing something. You were saying something. You were covering much ground very quickly. And so this king came down 120 miles from Samaria down from Syria down to Samaria. And he finds this city, Samaria, a city on a hill, a city that's fortified, a city where the children of God, the children of Israel are living. And they surround it. They besiege it. They go to capture it. There's no way out. So you have these people locked in this city on a hill, surrounded by this massive army with major military prowess and technology and a number of different allies with them. And we're getting ready to go to war. And that's where we're at right now. The second bite I want you to understand, now that you see the city and now that you see the threat that is around the city, is what happens next. There's these messengers and these messages that permeate the city walls. It's not good enough that the city is surrounded, but there are these things that come in and out of the city in the form of messages and messengers that try and weaken the people inside. It says that he sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, saying, "This is what Ben-Hadad says, your silver and your gold are mine. The best of your wives and children are mine." And the king of Israel answered, what? "No, they aren't." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Yes. Just as you say, my lord the king, all I have
is yours.
He didn't even put up a fight. He saw the threat. He acknowledged it was real. And he said, okay, these are the children of God. He didn't inquire with the Lord. He just said, okay. Can I explain to you why he said okay? So you see, several chapters back, we start to realize who this king is, that he has a wife named Jezebel, that she serves many other gods, that there was this prophet named Elijah who came and said, it's not going to rain in here because you're not doing what the Lord said, and until you do, there will be no rain. And so it didn't rain. This same prophet came to the king and he said, look, we're going to have a showdown. One man against 950 people, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. And this one man said, I'll tell you what, we're going to make a platform here on the altar. You're going to sacrifice yours. I'm going to sacrifice mine. And the God who answers by fire, that's the God we're going to serve because we're all messed up. Can we agree as a community that whatever God answers by fire, that's the God we're going to serve because all this multi-God thing, it can't be. We're the children of Israel. We serve one true God. We're the example to all people. And so he took on 950 prophets, one man in the name of God, and they cut themselves and they screamed and all these things, and their God didn't answer. The night went on, the night got long, and the prophet Elijah said, my turn. And not only did he have the offering there, but he poured water on it, dug a ditch around, and he had him pour water on top of that. And he prayed to the Lord, and God answered by fire and sucked up the water and the burnt offering. And he went and he had all those false prophets killed so that the king and the wife and the community would know that there's only one God. And as the children of Israel, we need to serve that God. But in his household and in his heart, he was torn. He was double-minded. He wasn't 100% serving the one true God of Israel. So when the attack came, when the pressure came, when the threat came, he gave in. Okay, I don't want to fight. You can have the best I have. My wives, my children, my silver and my gold. Well, Barry, I don't understand that. You've seen it before. You've seen the book of Daniel when they came in and they took over. And they carried out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel, that wasn't even their name. They gave them different names. And they took them into captivity, and they taught them their language, and they taught them their culture, and they learned from the best that they had. This is the same thing that's going on. They're creating these exile situations where they're saying, I want your best because I'm going to pillage, and you will have no future, and my company, and my group, and my country will grow and expand because we're going to take your best. We're going to take your resources, and we're going to take the best that you have there. And you'll be left with nothing. And the king says, okay. That's how Satan does, you know. He gets a toehold in there. And as soon as he gets a toehold in there, you start to feel the pressure. Like that one time I fell on my motorcycle on my hip. I had my pager. That's a long time ago, huh? I had my pager on my side, and I fell on my motorcycle, and I hurt my hip. And my oldest son, who's 23, every once in a while he would take one finger, and he'd just push on that spot, right where the indent of the pager was. It was blue, black and blue, it was bruised. And I would say, oh, he'd just laugh. That's what Satan does in our lives. He finds that one spot, that unguarded spot, that tender spot, that unprotected spot, and he pushes. And we say, whatever you want, you can have it. I can't take the pain. This is what we find. When Ben-Hadad says to the king of Israel, I want your gold, your silver, the best of your wives, the best of your children. I want to take your future. I want to grow, and you will be subservient to me. When I go to my next battle, instead of 32 kings, you will be the 33rd king that goes to battle with me because I will own you. We're talking about toeholds in your life, toeholds in my life. That Satan tries to put in. Maybe this last 2016, you felt a couple of those toeholds, things that you let go a little bit. I know I have. And the Lord is reminding me, do not give in to toeholds. Stand strong in who I am. Let's read a little more. The next message that we see coming in is that verses 5 and 6, it says, the messenger came again, second time. The messenger came again and said, this is what Ben-Hadad said. I sent to demand your silver and your gold, your wives and your children, but about this time tomorrow, I'm going to send my officials to search your palace and the houses of your other officials and to seize everything you value and carry it away. Toehold doesn't look too bad now, does it? That toehold is starting to become a foothold. And the king says, not only am I going to get in there, that was easy enough. If I got this, maybe I'm going to step it up one notch. And that toehold's going to become a foothold. And the strategy that he starts to use, we see that it's extensive, it's immediate, and that it's intrusive. And by that, I mean this. When we see that it's not just affecting the king, he says, tomorrow, this time tomorrow, immediately, I'm coming back. I'm coming into your town, and not just do I want an offering of the best and your gold and silver, but I want what you have, and I want what your officials have, and I will take everything. I will decimate, not just your future, I will decimate you today. Everything you hold of value, I will take. From toeholds to footholds in our lives. Toeholds to footholds. Basically, I own you, is what this king is saying. These are the same words that the Satan uses on us. Once he gets in a toehold, he tries to move up to the foothold. But let me tell you what the king did. It says in verse 7 that the king summoned all the elders of the land and said to them, see how this man is looking for trouble? When he sent for my wives and children, my silver and for my gold, I did not refuse him. The elders and the people all answered, don't listen to him and don't agree to his demand. Even though the king was double-minded, even though the king had been wishy-washy, even though the king wasn't strong enough to stand on his own, he called for backup. He reached out to all the elders. He sought wise counsel. I don't know about you, but I have 32 men that I call, one every day of the month. And if I can't get them on the phone, I try by text. And if I can't get them by text, I try by email. And if I can't get them by email, then I just pray and they know we have a covenant together. That on a certain day of the month, I'm praying for them and they're praying for me. Because we know that the battle is real. The threat is real. And sometimes we can't stand it alone. But God gives us family. He gives us support. He gives us elders and other brothers to come beside us. And when we can't walk, they carry us. He allows us a place where we can go and share our praises and share our pains, where we sincerely care for one another, where we can pour out our lives to one another, and we can honestly and earnestly lift each other up and intercede on each other's behalf. Instead of dealing with the toehold to the foothold scenario, the king of Israel went to the stronghold. He went to the people that knew the power of God. He asked them for their advice. He sought wise counsel. And he listened and obeyed what they said. Sometimes we seek wise counsel, don't we? And when we get the answer, oh, they don't know what to talk about. You don't understand. I really love her. I really love him. That's not the one for you. But I love her. Oh, I got to get this. That's not what you need. But I got to have it. They got it. I want it. You don't hear me, though. You don't hear me, though. We have to seek wise counsel, and we have to listen. Sometimes in our households, the things that come into our ears from TV or the things we watch on our eyes, from our eyes, or the stuff we look at on social media, it wars against us. We have to put up gates of protection around us. And we have to seek what is beneficial and what is blessed by the Lord. Nonetheless, the king says, I'm not going to be able to do it. All the things you said at first, I'll do. But after I've talked to these wise counsel, these other elders, I'm not going to be able to do what you say to do. So the servants go back and tell the other king who has surrounded their place, look, he says he can't do it. And here's where we're at this point in time, verse 10 and 12. Then Ben-Hadad sent another messenger. This is the third one. The first one was the toehold, then the foothold. And now that he knows he can't get the stronghold, this is what he says. Another messenger to Ahab, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if enough dust remains in Samaria to give each of my men a handful. That's some serious talk. Look, not only, I'm going to come in, I'm going to crush you. Have you seen the wrestlers or the, I'm going to break you. It's like Rocky. I'm going to break you. I'm going to crush you. I'm going to destroy you. And they start talking back and forth. There's just tons of smack. I don't know how you can't get into this. This is the biggest smack talk around. One king says, I'm going to come and I'm going to decimate everything. I'm going to break you to dust. And the next king says to him back, look, you're talking a lot of stuff, but you haven't even put on your armor. Don't act like you're taking it off. Don't act like we've already been through the fight. You haven't even done nothing yet, and you're acting like you already won. Serious smack talk. I love the Bible when it comes to life. So one king says to the other, I'm gonna destroy everything. And the king, who's now got a stronghold in the Lord, he's now covered himself and surrounded himself and listened to wise counsel. He says, look, I'm not going to be able to do it. And if it's going to go down, it's going to go down. But don't talk like you've already destroyed us because you haven't done nothing yet but surround this city. Okay? Okay. And as they start to talk and they start to sell these wolf tickets and a lot of smack talk, we come down to the action in verse 12. Ben-Hadad heard the message, and while the kings were drinking in their tents, he ordered the men to prepare to attack, so they prepared to attack. You know, a lot of times there's a lot of smack talk going around drinking, right? People start going way out, start talking way out here. Their minds get a little loopy on some stuff, and they think they do more than they can do. But this is what the king of Syria is saying, that he's going to come in and he's going to attack. And the most important part of this sermon, the biggest piece that I'm chewing on at this point in time are these last two verses. And this is what I want you to get in your spirit, because I think we've already established that we're in a battle. I think we already established that it's real, that there are people and there are things, and Satan has desired to sift us as wheat. He seeks us. He is a roaring lion going to and fro. And if he can't devour us, he will find or try to find some way to get in. And we have to protect ourselves. We have to put a guard of protection around us. We have to seek godly counsel. We have to pray to the Lord. We have to ask for grace and protection. And I don't know how it ended in 2016, but my prayer is that your 2017 will be like the next two verses. Meanwhile, I like that. While all that other stuff is going on, it's like one of the more westerns. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Meanwhile, a prophet came to Ahab, king of Israel, and announced, this is what the Lord says. Now, we heard a whole bunch of talk. This is what Ben-Hadad said. This is what Ben-Hadad said. This is what Ahab said. This is what the Lord says. Isn't it good to have a prophet that doesn't do this? He says, listen, amen. You have a pastor. I love Pastor Steve. He continually gives you the word of God. Amen. Continually. Amen. Says, this is what the Lord says. And this is what we're finding in this scripture. The prophet says, this is what the Lord says. Do you see this vast army? I will give it unto your hand today. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I ask you the same question. When you look at your life, when you look back over the past year, do you see the army that surrounded you, that desired to take your life and those around you, to break your will and to break your spirit, to get you into all sorts of addictions and anger and frustrations and failure of health and jealousy and envy and strife and cover. Do you see all the different tricks that have been played on you? The snares that have been laid out for you. It's real. But this is what the Lord said. I will give it to you today. The king goes on to say this. But who will do this? Asked Ahab. The prophet replied, this is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord said. The young officers of the providential commanders will do it. These young guys that haven't had any fights, haven't had any battles, they're not experienced, they're green in the tooth. These young guys will do it. They're few. There's only 232 of them against this whole army. Does that make any sense at all? But see, that's how God works. He takes the least of these and does the most with it. This is a David and Goliath story all the way through. Who will do it? The young officers will do it. Well, they don't have any training. I can hear it now. They've never been in a fight. How about the seasoned guy? How about the Green Beret? How about SEAL Team 6? No, the young guys are going to do it. The foot soldiers, the guys that are new, don't have any experience. It goes on to say, God, I love it when I see God take the smallest thing and do the greatest work with it. Sometimes we think, oh, Lord, that's all I have. That's all the Lord wants, is all you have. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. Amen. He can do the most as long as you're willing to serve him with what you have. Amen. This is my favorite part. And this is what I want to leave you with today. And who will start the battle? He asked. The prophet answered, you will. If you don't hear anything else I tell you today, today is your day. It's the first of the year. You start the battle. You fall on your knees today and you just ask the Lord to go before you, to lead you, to guide you, to protect you from dangers that are seen and unseen, to prepare your way, to send his angels before you, to decimate all other things that stand in your way. But you have to start. Amen. You have to start as foot soldiers. From your knees, looking to God, and asking for his direction. Do you see the vast army? The threat is real. But the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.